Hello, and welcome back to the Agora, the podcast where we take a snapshot of Greece, but don't just catch the country's good side. I'm Phoebe Phronista.
And I'm Nick Malkousis. On this episode, we'll be looking at the contrasting images of Greece abroad and how they sit alongside each other.
We'll be joined shortly by Wolfgango Piccoli, who is the co-president of Political Risk Advisory at Tenneo, to discuss how Greece is seen abroad and what this means in economic and political terms. But first, Nick will set the scene for us.
Sure. I thought it would be interesting for us to have a closer look at how, on the one hand, Greece has been rewarded by the rating agencies and the markets for its economic recovery and political stability, major achievements. But on the other, we've seen the European Parliament and others express concern about some of the other things going on in the country.
Tell me more about our two-faced existence.
Okay, so in October last year, Phoebe, Standard & Poor's, the global rating agency, awarded Greek sovereign debt the investment grade again. This was seen as a landmark moment in the country's recovery from the crisis, as it had lost its investment grade 13 years earlier, just as the economic situation began to unravel in the country. The return of the investment grade signaled that Greece was back among the developed and stable economies of the world, an achievement that looked in doubt not that long ago, to be honest. Apart from the symbolism of it all, of course, being back in the investment grade club gives Greece access to wider and cheaper financing. The Greek finance ministry estimates, for instance, that over the next decade, Greece could save as much as 850 million euros through borrowing at lower rates. So it's not to be sniffed at. The investment grade is, though, more a recognition of fiscal and economic conditions, although the political environment is taken into account to a lesser extent, probably.
But I guess Greece's ratings don't necessarily tell you much about the day-to-day issues that are affecting citizens, which are also the issues that are generating political tension domestically.
No, of course, it's not a measure for such things. But as we know, at the same time that the investment grade was being restored, human rights organizations, journalist unions, and others were raising the alarm about the rule of law in Greece. It's a subject we've touched upon in the past on this podcast. This culminated in the European Parliament voting this February on a resolution expressing concern about the situation in the country. The resolution was adopted with 330 votes in favour, 254 against, and 26 abstentions. MEPs expressed concerns about threats to democracy, the rule of law, and fundamental rights in the country. The Greek government's reaction was to dismiss this as a politically motivated effort by the left and centre-left to undermine Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis and his administration and weaken the European People's Party. They both represent the centre-right, and this alleged destabilisation effort is seen within the context of this summer's European Parliament elections. Mitsotakis recently met with the European Parliament President, Roberta Metsola, in Athens. During a news conference afterwards, he doubled down on the claim that Greece is being unfairly targeted. He also insisted that the quality of democracy is improving rather than worsening. He backed this up, Phoebe, by pointing out that the Economist Intelligence Unit recently upgraded Greece in its annual ranking of the world's democracies. Greece is now ranked 20th out of 167 countries, so pretty high up.
Fancy.
Yeah. Metsola, whose nationalist party in Malta is a member of the EPP, the European People's Party, like Mitsotakis' New Democracy, gave tacit support to the Greek PM. She agreed with his take that the European Commission, which produces an annual rule of law report, is best placed to judge member states on this matter. And here's what she said.
But irrespective, I also want to be clear that we must treat all member states the same. And this is why we insisted as a parliament on an annual rule of law report from the Commission that puts all member states under the same scrutiny. Why have we been asking for this? And we've done this for many years now. Because we want to discuss the issues honestly, and we need to be careful not to politicize or weaponize important discussions on the rule of law. And I also want to acknowledge the important steps that Greece has made on transparency, on equality, and on combating racism. I am grateful for the assurances given by Prime Minister Mitsotakis, and I am confident that in our discussions going forward, we'll be able to move very much forward together. Last word, let me very much congratulate Greece for legislating under your leadership, Kyriakos, for marriage equality. This was an important decision on our shared journey on strengthening
So, if we're to believe what Roberta Metsola, who we just heard, and Kyriakos Mitsotakis said, there's nothing to see here. We should all just move along.
Yeah, that's certainly the impression they give. But the European Parliament resolution raises concern about a whole range of issues that are real. They've not been conjured up out of thin air. This includes the spyware scandal, Predator, which we've covered on this podcast before, media freedom, another issue that we've looked at, mistreatment of migrants, police violence, and so on. In fact, they're all issues we've covered at one point mm-hmm. or another. But even if you accept, Phoebe, the argument that this was only about party politics and a wider campaign to damage the Greek government, you can refer to the European Commission's most recent rule of law report. This is the one that Mitsotakis and Metsola say that we can trust, mm-hmm. right? The Commission finds that Greece is progressing in some areas, but the report expresses concern about a number of things. And just to illustrate the point, I'll read a few of them out. So, and these are quotes from the report, right?
Mm-hmm.
Serious challenges remain regarding the efficiency of justice, in particular the length of proceedings, which have further increased. Also, progress towards achieving a robust track record of prosecutions and final judgments in corruption cases has been relatively limited. Another one. Concerns persist and more concrete steps are needed to improve the working environment of journalists, including as regards abusive lawsuits against journalists and their safety.
That's an ongoing one.
Yep. And finally, and these are just a few that I've taken out of the report, right?
Mm-hmm.
Despite efforts improving the quality of the legislative processing practice, challenges remain. And that's to do with Parliament and so on. And these are just a few illustrations.
Yeah, well, the Commission's report not only doesn't seem to paint such a rosy picture, it's also, I think, a familiar one to anyone living here and following, you know, current events.
You're right. And what we should take into account is that it's couched in technocratic language, which rounds off a lot of the edges. But, you know, for anyone who's interested, we'll put a link in the report in the show notes and they can go and have a look for themselves.
It's almost as if we have a tale of two Greeces, one which is forging ahead economically and it's got its public finances in order, and the other, mm-hmm. perhaps beneath the surface, that is a bit murkier.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it, actually. And I think it's a really interesting contradiction and one that I thought our guest might help us untangle.
Well, let's hear from Wolfgango Piccoli straight away then.
Okay, Wolf, thanks for joining us on the Agora.
Pleasure.
Let's start by talking about the investment grade. Towards the end of last year, Greece returned to investment grade and it was seen as the completion of the effort to rehabilitate the country, if you like, following the long crisis that we went through. What is it that rating agencies and the markets more broadly see in Greece now that they like or which gives them confidence?
Yeah, first of all, I would say that that was certainly a very significant achievement for Greece. And, you know, it's a clear sign of turning the page. I think they've seen multiple factors. The main one, in my view, they've seen the disappearance of the policy risk. And that is because of the action of the government Mitsotakis in the first term, and then they saw the landslide victory in the second election. So that there is no more. There is a sense that policy risk in Greece is somewhat gone. The debt dynamics are in a downward path, which is also very important. They've seen a government that is committed to fiscal prudence, which is also very important still given the high amount of debt. The debt maturities in the case of Greece are very positive as well. And they've seen also, I think, which has been important, a good rebranding of the country. And I think that has been one of the priorities of the government of Prime Minister Mitsotakis, this effort to give a sense out there that the country has turned the page, the country is open for business, that the country is doing reforms. And I think that has been successful in attracting the attention of investors, of the rating agencies, and the wider public as well.
Mm. So that part of it, of pushing or promoting a particular narrative, is an important factor in gaining the attention and approval of the markets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in terms of getting the attention first, and then obviously now you need to keep the attention, you need to build a track record, because again, they got the investment grade, but investment grades need to be maintained and ideally improved further. And that requires building a track record in maintaining investors, keeping pushing ahead with the reforms, because there is still plenty that needs to be done at the end of the day, Greece, and continuing, you know, providing this sense that the country is determined to push ahead, and this sense that there is a significant element of political stability.
Yeah. So there has to be some substance to back up the message as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in that sense, I think, you know, we have seen some good moves in terms of the banking sector, for example. We still see a commitment to fiscal discipline at the end of the day. We are now waiting to see the reform of the judiciary system, which I think is going to be very important for business. It's a long one coming. Hopefully, it will not be a piecemeal. But there is still much more needs to be done in terms of liberalizing the economy, in terms of tackling tax evasion, more competition into the system, education. There is a reform of the universities, but I think the big one in Greece, and there is not much debate about that, is also lifelong learning for employees. There is always the idea that Greece has got a skilled and well-educated workforce. I actually beg to differ. I think the workforce, the quality of the workforce in Greece is a problem, and not much has been done on that front.
Interesting. Well, since we're talking about, you know, how Greece is perceived abroad and specifically in the context of the markets, how much credit should we be giving to Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis personally for this turnaround in how the investment community perceives Greece?
I think he played an important role. First of all, I think his profile was ideal for the job. Obviously, well-educated, able to speak a variety of foreign languages, his experience in the private sector. And also when he was a minister, he was always one of the reference points for the business community, for international investors too. So he had a good starting point there. I think we should give him credit for realizing that there was an image problem. There was a narrative problems about Greece. And he worked fairly hard on that front to turn around the negative narratives that were prevailing about the country. And also, let's be very clear, he has spent quite a bit of political capital to push ahead for some unpopular reforms. We have seen even recently, you know, controversial reforms like the equality in terms of, you know, gay marriages. And now we are seeing it with the reforms of the university system. So I think he deserves quite a bit of credit in terms of explaining this turnaround.
Okay, looking ahead, you mentioned some of the longer term issues and the substance that the government will need to keep providing over at least its next 3.5 years in power if elections are held on time. Are there things that the markets, investors are looking for specifically in terms of what Greece should provide in the coming years?
I think the big question here, what is the model of economic development for Greece? Meaning that, yes, the economy has bounced back, which was inevitable. At the end of the day, when you hit the bottom, you bounce back. It's been a good bounce back, let's be very clear. There were some favorable circumstances, but the question here is, what is the model for the future? Are we back to the traditional model, which is very heavily focused, centered on construction, on tourism, or is the government trying to work on a new economic model of development here, which puts growth on a sustainable and a long-term path. That, I think, is still a bit of a question mark. And obviously, this will require not just a sense of a vision on that front, but also significant reforms at the end of the day. Just talking about institutional quality in Greece has not improved that much. In terms of business, the business environment, still there is a huge amount of red tape in terms of entry and exit for companies. The human capital, as we discussed before, needs to improve dramatically at all levels. Childcare is a huge issue in terms of women employment in the country. So I think it's the biggest question here, is this growth sustainable? And actually, how many can benefit out of this growth? Because that is the other issue here. And it's not just about Greece, let's be very clear. How inclusive this new growth that Greece is enjoying is at the end of the day. Is it growth coming at the expense of cheap labor or not? And that is still a question mark.
Yeah, those are fair questions and things obviously that the markets are thinking about. But just to look at what maybe the markets are not picking up so much, they don't seem to have been affected at all by this long-running debate that is going on about the rule of law in Greece. By contrast, we've seen the European Parliament adopted recently a resolution early February, actually, raising the alarm over a range of issues, including media freedom, the use of spyware, and the treatment of migrants. Wolf, as someone who is in touch with markets, but also in touch with policymakers, first of all, can you explain to us why this matter is not on investors' radar so much? And secondly, whether the European Parliament's concern is actually reflected in policymaking circles in Brussels and other European capitals, or are people not really taking too much attention?
The matter is not in the radar screen as far as Greece is concerned, and most of other countries are concerned, frankly speaking. First of all, there is plenty going on out there, okay, every day, plenty, starting from wars to else. So the attention span of investor is under heavy stress, if I can put it in that way. Kind of matters, they are not prone generally to attract the attention of investors, and that I don't see them as being a source of concerns for investors. When we look at the rule of law in Greece, the concern for investors is about the efficiency of the judiciary in settling disputes, business disputes. It's not so much about infringement to freedom of the press, or how migrants are treated, or whether spyware is used for political purposes. And I think it's not as I said before, it doesn't apply to Greece only, but it applies to, I would say, to most other countries out there. As for the European Parliament, I think it's somewhat normal that they debate these kind of matters. Are investors paying attention to the European Parliament? No, they're not. And frankly, they shouldn't, in my view. And do we see a reflection in terms of Greece? Does this have an impact? I think the impact has been fairly limited, frankly speaking. I think Mitsotakis here has done, as we discussed earlier, a good job in terms of Greece's profile in Europe. Is also, if you look at on the political side, is one of the few leaders from the mainstream center-right that is doing well politically. So that gives him gravitas within the European People's Party, which is still the main bloc in the European Parliament. So all in all, I think the damage has been somewhat limited, and they expect that this is not going to change anytime soon.
So if we could sum it up, as long as the government is performing well on the economic front and proceeding with the reforms, as well as being good Europeans in terms of the Greek position on Ukraine or similar matters that affect the EU?
Absolutely. It's a good position on Ukraine. It's being a constructive partner. It's a good ties with some key member states like France, for example. Italy, for example, their rapprochement with Turkey, where Greece is playing a constructive role in the region, is pushing ahead with some reforms. I think this gives, if we can put it that way, a pass and allows Athens to minimize the damage potentially caused by these debates, which are, as I said before, they are taking place in a very, in a small environment at the end of the day, and they do not attract the attention of certainly of investors.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier the marriage equality bill as an example of the type of Mitsotakis' commitment to positive reform, something which is being picked up on abroad, and it's received lots of positive coverage outside the country and has attracted a lot of praise from European officials. This was a reform that Mitsotakis was committed to since his first time in office, and okay, we shouldn't underestimate its importance in terms of social progress in Greece. But would you say that the timing is also useful politically for the Greek prime minister? It boosts his image abroad, maybe at a time when it had become a little bit tarnished?
Potentially. I think the timing was also determined by the fact that the opposition in Greece is somewhat imploding. Certainly that applies to the main opposition party, to what it was until now, the main opposition party,
Syriza. Exactly. Yes, Syriza.
And certainly we have not seen PASOK making the most out of the Syriza misfortunes. So I think that Mitsotakis felt this was the right moment domestically. He knew that this reform was controversial, even within his party. But this was the right moment to use the political capital that he has to push ahead. Obviously helps in terms of putting some new shine on the image that was, as you suggested, somewhat tarnished. And on top of that, I think, which is in a dimension that the government has not stressed much, but in my view, is interesting. A country that is trying to sell itself as a destination point for the so-called digital nomads, you know, new kind of workers and so on. So younger, better educated, foreigners. I think these kind of reforms actually could help in the front in terms of trying to attract the attention of these potential workers, because always there is still the image of Greece as being a very conservative country socially, and this I think helps to try to dismantle a bit that perception. So I think it's part of the rebranding of the country as well.
Mm-hmm. So to sum up, Wolf, we would say that the markets view Greece positively. They've seen some things that they like. They seem to have trust in the country and this particular government and prime minister again. They want to see more, and they're not really too bothered about this debate that has developed around rule of law and other issues.
Absolutely. I think that is a very fair summary of what we have discussed so far. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. All right, Wolf, thank you very much for joining us on the Agora.
My pleasure.
That was Wulfango Piccoli of Teneo talking to Nick about the contrasting images of Greece abroad and the significance of these differing vibes coming from our little corner of the world.
Yeah, differing vibes indeed. And that brings us to the end of another episode of the Agora. Many thanks to Wulfango for joining us. And to you all for listening and downloading. We will be back soon with more.
In the meantime, subscribe and rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcast. We really appreciate the feedback. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.